Yeah. Hey, you know, I was just thinking this morning about something that I think is really, really important, and it's us gaining an understanding of how we are made in the image of God. And because of that, we have so much within us that reflects of who He is. So much about us that is special. So much about us that is made in His image. You know, we reflect His character, we reflect His beauty, we reflect His courage, and we reflect His joy. Isn't that true? How about you tell the person next to you something about yourself that reflects something of who God is? Ooh, silence. You all said yes and you agreed with me. You see, the potential here in this room is incredible because each one of us reflects something of who God is. And because we reflect of something of who God is, the potential that you and I have to change the world is humongous. It is unbelievable. We have so much within us, so much that can happen. We just got to wake up and see it. I don't know about you, but this morning, especially yesterday morning, it was real hard to get up. Hey, man, it was cold. Yesterday was just freezing. I mean, getting up in the morning when it's cold and it's wet, and it's been so wet recently and it's dark, I prefer to stay in my bed where it's cozy, where it's warm. Who wants to get up at 6:30 in the morning or 7 o'clock or whatever the time is? In my household, the one thing that gets our kids up, that gets the whole house up, is the smell of bacon and pancakes and eggs cooking. My boys will get up so quick. I've never seen them get up so quick when they can hear the sizzling and smell that sweet smell of bacon. It gets them up so quickly. Food wakes up my kids. What will it take you guys to wake up? What is it that you need from God, and what does God need from you to wake up and to see the beautiful gifts that He's given you to be used for His glory? You know, I think one of the greatest gifts that He's given us is to be these incredible people who have been known as lovers. Women, ladies, wouldn't you agree? The world would be a better place if us men learnt how to be more romantic, to be better lovers. True? Yeah? Wouldn't it be a better place? Men, I think God wants you to become great lovers, to be famous for it. Wouldn't it be great that Manurua Baptist was known because the men of this church were famous for the way that they loved? Lovers of Jesus, lovers of His kingdom, great lovers of your wives, the greatest dads ever known, lovers of neighbors. Wouldn't that be a great thing to be famous for? It's like a sleeping giant that's within us that needs to wake up. You know, sleep is one of the safest places to be, because when I'm asleep, my fears are all gone. God wants the sleeping giant within us to wake up. And when it wakes up, Manurewa will be a better place. It'll be a new place. It'll be the kingdom of God coming here. But what will it take? You know, some of us have got dreams, but the dreams have fallen asleep. What will it take? Sometimes when we are awake, we've forgotten to become great lovers. My wife, who's sitting over there, sometimes tells me to go back to sleep, because when I wake up, I'm this grumpy old thingamajig. Dave, go back to sleep, wake up, and be someone different. Sometimes the sleeping giant has been lying in the bed of excuses, fear, insecurity, our laziness, our thirst for money, the need to feel safe. What will it take for the sleeping giant within us to be awoken? If we can't wake up, maybe we need a shake up. And this happened to someone in Scripture. If we could get our Bibles out and just turn to John. Chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. The healing in the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem and to a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, excuse my language, which is surrounded by the five covered somethings. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who'd been an invalid for 38 years lay there. When Jesus saw him lying there, he learned that he'd been in that condition for a long time, and he asked them, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to them, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. Four things from that scripture. A bit of background to it. What happened around this pool was that there was a myth, a dream, that when the waters boiled and bubbled, that if you were the first one to get into that pool, then you were instantly healed. Now some believe that it was an angel that bubbled it. If you look carefully at the scriptures, you'll notice in verse 4 that it's missing. Have a look. I only just saw this last week. But verse 4 isn't there, although there is a number 4. And that's because scripture, when put together in the Bible, comes from a whole lot of ancient texts that they find. And some of the ancient texts had a verse in there to say that that water was bubbled by angels. But more reliable texts didn't say that. So they've chosen to put number 4, but to leave it as a blank. I found that interesting. I don't know about you. But the thing about this pool was it was never that particularly successful. It kind of happened, but kind of never did. And Jesus, when he turned up there, he found a man who had made a lifestyle out of lying by the pool, waiting to be healed. Someone who lay and begged and created an income from being at the pool. And maybe the question that Jesus asked was actually quite a pointed question. Maybe a little bit like, wake up. But he said to him, "Do you really want to get better? Or are you now quite happy just lying there, making a lifestyle of lounging around with the feeble excuse that someone else gets into the pool before you do?" An excuse the crippled man had. The third point, when Jesus comes, in a flash, he does what the pool represents. And all it takes was a word. In this case, it was a command. Get up, take your mattress, and walk. And suddenly the man, the crippled man, finds himself in a place, a much harder place, a place where now he has to stand up and he has to make a life for himself. But it is a place of dignity. Where once he lay on the ground crippled and begging, he has now chosen to stand and become a man and to live the life of working and being someone who's part of community. Much harder, but a place that gives him so much more dignity than being a cripple. And the last point I think we need to need from this is the sick man listened. And he obeyed. He stood. Now Christ does the same for us. It's a command to get up, to wake up, and to walk. I think it's a shake up. I have a friend in my neighborhood who struggles with the words God loves you. For him, it's too sloppy. See, he comes from a rough background. It's a dark place of violence and of gangs and of drugs. When I first met this guy, he was muscular, he was tall, he wore dark glasses, had tattoos all over him, and he scared the hell out of me because he had that anger look in his face. He was scary. But we became friends, and what I learned from him was that actually he was more scared than I was when I first met him. Inside of him, he was terrified, and he just wore this mask of anger to keep people away from him. And as I found out his story, I realized that his story was based around fear. You see, as a child, his grandfather and his uncles had taught him that he needed to be a man to be respected. In fact, to be a man, you had to be respected. And so from a young age of 5, they had taught him to use violence to instill fear into others so that through fear, he could be respected. His whole life had been built around fear, and it wasn't working. Christ gives us respect. And what Christ did with the man with the pool when he commanded him to stand, in some ways, and in many ways, I think, was a manly way of Christ showing love through respect. See, the command was to stand, which was to show respect. And when respect is done in love and not fear, it's a two-way exchange. The leader commands someone to do something, and the person who's following respects what the commander says and does it. Christ commanded the sleeping giant to wake up. And my mate is realizing that Christ respects him. And as he understands that Christ respects him, he's learning to respect himself. And as he learns to respect himself, he's learning that he can gain respect from others, from his partner, from his kids, by the way that he treats others. It's a wake-up call for him. And the sleeping giant inside of him is coming awake. Shyness is not something that comes from God. It comes from fear. If you are shy, God wants to set you free. You see, shyness comes from the fear of what other people think of you. It comes from your fear of being noticed. It comes from your fear of what others are thinking of you. It comes from the fear of loving yourself. God wants to heal you if you are shy. See, fear is a tool of the enemy. It's what he uses to cripple us, to stop us from realizing our full potential, from stopping us from being able to give back to God what belongs to him, so that his kingdom can come here on earth, so that his kingdom can come here in Mandarua, so that his kingdom can come to those who are on the margins, to those who are isolated, to those who feel that there are nobody. Fear stops those gifts from being released. See, fear is F, false, E, evidence that A, appears to be real. Fear is false evidence that appears to be real, but it's false. And Christ wants to set us free from being false so that we can stand with those who are on the margins. Now, when I first moved into Randwick, one of the things that I got asked many times is, Dave, and same to Denise, how long are you staying for? It kind of went like this. Kia ora, bro, how are you? Yeah, good, good. My name's Dave. Yours? Oh, yeah, my name's George. Kia ora, George, how's it? Where do you live? Oh, down there. Cool. Where do you live? Secretariat. And then the question would come, Dave, how long are you staying for? It was an interesting question, because normally when I meet someone, they ask, what do you do? Or who's your family? But the first question came is, how long are you going to stay for? And after the 10th time, I started to ask, why that question? When we found a house to rent, we went and knocked next door because we wanted to meet our neighbours. And we just said, you know, I'm Dave, and da-da-da-da-da. And then I said, do you know the neighbours over there? And what's their names? I want to go meet them. And they went, nah, I don't know who they are. Oh, okay. So I went over and met that neighbours. Do you know those neighbours over there? They go, nah, I don't know who they are. Do you know their name? Nah. How long you been here? Oh, 2-3 years. You don't know your neighbors? No, I don't know. Well, this is your neighbor. Let me come over and introduce you to your neighbor. And I asked God what was going on. And what I realized, what I think God told me, was that in Randwick, we live under an oppression of fear. It's a fear that stops neighbors from meeting neighbors. It's the fear of safety, the fear of being beaten, the fear of having their material things stolen, or the violence that they see around them, the fear of home invasions, the fear of not being respected, fear of rejection, and the list goes on. And I asked God, what do I do with that? And he asked me, his reply was, Dave, who is your neighbor? You see, when neighbors know each other, yet you feel safe. Relationships are deepened, and the opportunities of God's given potential, which is in every single person, whether they know him or not, when neighbors know each other, that potential has a chance to come out into the open and to be used for his kingdom and for his glory. And when neighbors know each other, we get a taste, a sweet taste of God's kingdom here on earth. And it is sweet. It is good. And the sleeping giant starts to awaken. But fear kills that possibilities, huh? It cripples the relationships of becoming friends. It kills the spirit of healthy neighborhood. It takes away the life. You know, around our neighborhood there are gates, and behind those gates that are closed there are big dogs, and man, they are scary dogs. But those dogs are there because of fear, to keep the neighbor out of the house. Fear is killing the love. And the lover within us dies if we allow fear to rule. But scripture tells us this, huh? There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love first because he first loved us. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Love is what awakens the giant within us and within others. You see, fear keeps the sleeping giant asleep. Let me just tell you something about fear. We all have one of these, usually. A fear of rejection. I'm scared to go meet my neighbor because they might reject me. It's legit. It is there. But is it a false, what did I say? A false evidence of what appears to be real. Us men, we often carry a fear of failure. That's why we work so hard. If we work harder, we won't get this feeling, this emotion that comes from a fear of failure. We fear what others are thinking of us. We often make assumptions, and ladies, this is real common. It's bad to make big statements like this, but this is often common. We make assumptions about what people are thinking about us. But the truth is none of us can read someone's mind. We can't read someone's mind. We can't double guess. It's very dangerous to make assumptions. The fear of what others are thinking. The fear of conflict, of disappointing others. The fear of responsibility, of growing up. Very common with Generation Y. The fear of looking weak, like my friend, of trusting someone. The fear of getting close to someone. The fear of being intimate. The fear of being unsafe. Of being used, of becoming a nobody. Fear keeps the giant asleep. What will it take for you to admit your fears? What do you need from God, and what does God need from you? Wake up, see the gifts that he's placed in your life. Mother Teresa says this, do small things with lots of love. Do small things with lots of love. Sometimes we think that we've got to do these amazing big projects to bring transformation into our neighborhood. But it's the small things that really count. See, 2 weeks ago, we had some new neighbors move into our place. And we believe that the kingdom of God comes through chocolate cake. So Heather and Denise bake this great, amazing big chocolate cake, and every new neighbor that we meet or that moves in, we go over and knock on the door and give them a chocolate cake. Well, 2 weeks ago, they went over and gave this chocolate cake and knocked on the door. Both were nervous, because it is a bit nervous, isn't it? knocking on a stranger and meeting them, because I guess maybe we do fear rejection or fear what they may think of us. And this lady opened the door, and Denise welcomed them and said, "Hey, great to have you in the neighborhood. Just so good. We live right next door there. You know, my name's Denise, and here's a chocolate cake just to say you're welcome." And she went, "Oh." She reached out and she grabbed the cake and she took a step back and shut the door. And Denise and Heather were both kind of like, "Ah, oh, okay, welcome to the neighborhood, new neighbors." And so for the last 2 weeks, we've kind of been a little bit nervous about our neighbors, because from that event, I mean, she didn't even say thank you. We kind of think, are they safe? I wonder what's going on. Are they hiding things? See how the mind works? Out of fear, we started to double guess what was going on in our neighbor's household. And that started to create a barrier between me and Denise and Heather coming to meet our friends and forming a friendship. Yesterday, one of our neighbors had 2 little 1-year-olds dressed up and walking around on their front lawn. And they're so cute. And I just went over to her and just says, "Oh man, there's a beautiful, gorgeous looking babies. Are they yours?" And she went, no, they're not mine. I'm the grandmother." And then she opened up and she started to tell me about how safe she felt living in the street, and how safe she felt about this neighborhood, and how quiet it was, because where she had come from, there used to be the Bloods on one side and the Cribs on the other side, and there used to be fights that were happening all over. This is in Manurewa, in another neighborhood. And she felt so unsafe. And she was so glad that she'd come into this street. And she said, "Dave, you know that chocolate cake that your wife brought over? It made us feel safe." Now, we had jumped to all these conclusions. But the kingdom of God came through a chocolate cake. And we were just lucky to hear something about it. She feels safe because we had the courage to come over our fears, to knock on the door, and to give a chocolate cake. And even though we'd made a mistake to jump to all these assumptions, she actually felt a lot safer because of it. We completely misinterpret the whole situation. Huh? Courage is not living without fear. Courage is being scared to death and doing the right thing anyway. Hebrews 13 says, for he himself has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." It's a promise we need to hold on to. Can you imagine what would happen in Manurewa if, like I said at the start, all of us men became famous because we could love our neighbors, love our wives, love our kids? Can you imagine the party kingdom that would happen if we connected with our neighbors? It takes courage, and I want to challenge you to do this sometime this week, to go across to your neighbor, knock on the door, and say, "Hi, take a chocolate cake." It works. Mother Teresa said, "The poverty of the West is not rice, it's loneliness." And loneliness, what I've discovered, is in poor neighborhoods, it's in middle class neighborhoods, and it's in rich neighborhoods. Loneliness is the poverty of the West, and it needs people who can wake up, allow the sleeping giant to stand, and to have the courage to walk across the street, to knock on the door with a chocolate cake, and say, "I'm your neighbor." Manurewa will be a different place if we could do that. What I want us to do now is to move into a time of communion. But I want us to think about and to ask God, what are the things that we fear? We've all been given a piece of paper and a pen, and if you haven't, we'll bring some out so you've got it. And after we pray, we're going to ask God to show us what are the things that we fear. Do we fear rejection? Do we fear what people think of us? Because God wants to release in you the potentials that you have, the gifts that you have, to change this world so that Manurewa can be a place of beauty. And then when you have done that, to come up, and there are three stations, one here, and one at the back, and to rip up those fears as a symbol that I am now giving these fears over to you, Christ, and to put them into the bin, to let them go, to allow Christ to step in and to love you even though you have the fears, and then to take the wine and the bread and to go back to your seat and to drink and eat when you're ready, and just to listen to the words and the song that's going to be up on the big screen projector. And after that, we'll go into a place of worship. Can you just put your hand up if you don't have a pen or a paper? Can someone just grab some that's out the back so that we can hand them out? Can you just put those hands up again? So just a couple at the front and on the left here and one on the right. Are there pens as well? Pens are all gone. Have to share. Just over here on the left too, Denise. Just over here. You guys just over here? Thanks. Just at the back. Is there some more paper for the back? Just over here. And still our hearts. Lord, this is a time when we are going to confess to you the things that we are frightened of, the fears that we hold deep down within us. Lord, give us the courage to be honest with our fears. Lord, give us the courage to be not like the crippled man who chose to lie on the ground for years, for 38 years, but help us to be like him. For when you command, he handed over his fears and he stood. Help us too, Lord, to now hand over our fears to you so that we can stand as men and as women who love you, men and women who are prepared to have the courage to overcome our fears so that your kingdom may come, your will may be done on earth as it is in Manurewa. That those who are isolated and those who are lonely may meet a friend, a new friend, and that lots and lots of chocolate cakes can be baked. Be with us now, Lord, as we write down our fears. Amen. And as you finish writing, and when you're ready, just come up, rip them up, put them in the bin, take the wine, take the bread, and when you're ready, eat and drink.